That statement either.
I look a little crooked. I'm not a Facebook evangelist. I've never said on Facebook, reach in those jeans and pull out those greens. And don't forget to tuck in that love offering. I've never said that on Facebook. I leave that to the Joel Osteens of the world. All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Esther. None of these lessons have been long, but I really have enjoyed Esther. We're in chapter 7. We're going to finish it today. And we'll go ahead, just for a refresher, read verse 5. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Now remember, we pointed out that the way she described Haman is the way God describes the devil and the Antichrist. I mean, interchangeably. He's called the adversary, the enemy, the wicked one. And it's like this is a Nathan to David moment. When Nathan said, Thou art the man. Only Esther, in the presence of the king and Haman, says, There's the rascal right there. That's the guy that tricked you into signing this decree to exterminate my people, the Jewish people. I mean, you talk about some holy boldness on the part of Esther to be able to say that. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. What a scoundrel. He was found out and exposed. And you know, that's the way things go. Be sure your sin will find you out. Sometimes it's publicly, as in this case. Other times, it's not going to be until the great white throne judgment when the books are open. And they're going to be judged out of those things which they've done. And it's not determined, the great white throne judgment is not to determine whether you're going to heaven or hell. If you're before the great white throne, you're going to the lake of fire. The purpose of it is to determine your level of punishment in the lake of fire. For example, people in today's world where the gospel has gone throughout the entire world, everybody has a whole lot more responsibility with the light that's been given than, say, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Say, well, they were so wicked. Yeah, but their place in the lake of fire ain't going to be as hot as people who have gospel light. So it's a warning to sinners today. Now, it says in verse 7, And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. The king storms out of the banqueting room and out into the palace garden, and he does it in great wrath. Think about what's going through the king's mind. All right? Haman, the guy that I have put second in command, is undermining my queen, the one that I chose. Out of all the provinces, he wants to murder her people. He deceived me. And I mean, he is He is beyond angry. He's filled with wrath because he realizes he's been deceived by wicked, rotten Haman. There are no redeeming qualities in Haman. In fact, I think that you can look at Haman and he has the spirit of Antichrist. I'm not saying he was a type of the Antichrist or that he would, but he definitely has the spirit of Antichrist. A lot of people do throughout history. And he definitely did. And in the king's mind, he's thinking, how could I have exalted a man so wicked and so malicious to a position of authority in this kingdom? You know, I often ask that about our system of government. How can we exalt people who are atheists, evolutionists, who hate God, hate His Word, hate the Gospel? It troubles me. But you know what? In a democratic... And by the way, we are a constitutional republic. I hate it when they say our democracy. This is not social democracy. It's not a democratic socialist society. It's a constitutional republic. It's a representative republic. We never have until now. You don't operate by mob rule in a constitutional republic. So, all that nonsense. But, you know, they changed the language and everything. But we have exalted people on both sides of the aisle. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, they're crooks. A lot of them. They're rotten to the core. They care about enriching themselves. But God allows it. In our society, in our world, I mean, there are globalists right now that are trying to formulate plans to socially engineer our society where you and me are going to be eating bugs instead of meat. Now, I'm not eating bugs, although I would. Okay? I would eat crickets. If I had to, they're a good source of protein. You fry anything and put barbecue sauce on it, it's probably tolerable. But the point I'm saying is, I really don't know the point I'm saying. I've gone down a serious rabbit hole here. But the problem is exalting people to positions of authority who are wicked and ungodly. There I'm back on track. And the king, no doubt, probably felt like a fool for signing an edict which meant doom for his queen and the subjects of his kingdom. And then Haman. It says here, Haman stood up. The king goes out. Haman goes over to Esther, trying to make a last ditch. This is how cowardly and what a slime ball this guy was. This is the guy, he's going to plead mercy from her, even though he was not going to show mercy to her people. Do you get this? You get the dynamic? He wanted her to be killed. He wasn't going to show her any mercy. Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. So he pleads for his life. He falls at the feet of Esther. And in this we see his weakness and his cowardice. When he was prosperous, he was haughty and vain. Now when his sin had found him out, and he was ruined. He showed his utter lack of manliness and was not ashamed to ask mercy of her whose people he would destroy without mercy. Haman is just like your old nature, just like the flesh, always trying to get us to spare it from the sword of the Word of God. Oh, let me live. I won't do it. Just let me live. We have to war against the flesh. We have to war against the lust of the flesh with great intensity and vigilance. Not feeding it, not pampering it in any way. Because your old nature is just like Haman. It's always going to rebel against truth. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the world." Thank God for Esther. She did not heed the pleadings of Haman. Verse 8. "Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, Will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face." The king comes back into the room only to find Haman on the couch, lying at the feet of Esther, pleading. And it just didn't look right, see? The king goes out for a minute. Maybe he thought, this dude is so wicked, he was trying to make a move on my woman while I was out there. Now, I don't know if that's how it went down for sure. This is the way it looks. Okay? Oh, man. The king just loses it. I mean, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. Haman's head was covered. You know why that was? That's what they did to people when they sent them to the gallows. Because they didn't want people to see the facial expression, their eyes popping out, and everything else when they were hung. Now, verse 9. "And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, before the king, now, this guy must have been on Esther's side the whole time. Alright? Hey, king, how convenient is this? Look outside there. Look at the gallows, how high they are. Guess what? Those are the very gallows. You know the guy that you exalted because he foiled an assassination attempt on your life? The king. Oh, you mean Mordecai? Yeah. Listen, Haman was going to hang Mordecai from those gallows. Oh. That just added to it, see. He said, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high." You know how high that is? If a cubit is 18 inches, which is the common thing, it's 75 feet. That's pretty far up there. "Which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, Hang him thereon." The king commands Haman to be hung on the very gallows that Haman had prepared for Mordecai. I remember My pastor one time said, you give somebody enough rope, they'll hang themselves. And that old proverb came true with Haman. Give a proud and wicked man enough rope, and he'll hang himself. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. H.D. Kennedy said, think about this. When Haman left his home that morning, he expected to see Mordecai hanging on the gallows before sunrise. But instead of that, he himself was humiliated before the man he hated, while the whole city looked on. He accepted the queen's invitation the second time only to be exposed. He obeyed the king only to be confronted with a great crime. He threw himself at Esther's feet only to be misjudged. He was accused by the queen and condemned by the king, who, he supposed, honored him above all in the realm. He had doomed a people to die without giving them any chance to defend themselves. Now, he had no chance to defend himself and was hurried off to be hanged on the gallows, prepared for another man. Let's tie this up. Pride brought Haman low. As we view Haman hanging from his own rope, it's a testimony of the truth of Proverbs 11, 2 and 3. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Haman's been in hell ever since, awaiting the resurrection of the damned, when he'll be brought to stand before the great white throne. And his place will be hot, because he tried to... If his plan would have been executed, there would have been no Savior. If the Jewish nation had been eliminated, exterminated, there'd be no Christ, because he came out, he's a lion out of the tribe of Judah. Secondly, evil always returns upon the one who plots it against another. I can guarantee you, the principle always works. Now, you may not always see it in such a public fashion, but the wheels of justice always grind true. Psalm 7, 15 and 16. He made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. The top of his head, that's what a pate is. Psalm 9, 15 and 16. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Psalms 28, 4 and 5 speaks of the plight of the wicked. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And He's the only one that can properly execute vengeance because He is holy and just. That's why we're not supposed to be vengeful, because oftentimes our minds are clouded by sin. Not so with God. Proverbs 11:8, the righteous is delivered out of trouble and the wicked cometh in his stead. Haman was justly condemned for his wicked deeds. And then finally, one day God's going to overthrow the designs of Satan, the Antichrist, when he's revealed, who will despise and persecute God's people and have done so through the ages. This is a picture, if you will, of the fact that God is going to bring about the judgment of all those who have plotted against Him and against His people. God will destroy His enemy. You say, well, weren't we at one time enemies? Yes, we were. Thank God we've been reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice, the only one that God accepts. The only way that you can be made right is to believe that Jesus shed His blood, died in your stead, gave His life, was buried and rose again, and is alive forevermore. That's the only way you can be made right with God. I pray that you know Him, or your plight will be as Haman's was. We're dismissed.